Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to help the viewer to understand the Word of God. There's so much confusion in religion and churches today, and so many people who think that all the religions in the world are the same, and everyone's coming to God only through different approaches. Well, now, the Bible, the proven, true Word of God, when compared to all other so-called religious sacred scriptures, tells us this very plainly. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one," I'll emphasize that again, "no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, think on that for a minute, because we are in a desperate battle today. In fighting the forces of evil which are overtaking all forms of Christianity and are corrupting it, watering it down, making it irrelevant. And so this is why Church at Home. Now let's see something else that Jesus said in coming to God. In coming to the Father. It has to be through Jesus Christ, but it also has to be initiated by God the Father. So it's not a matter of a person becoming a Christian because they say, "Well, I like these Christian values over here. Those over here I don't like. But I still call myself a Christian because I'm following these." So, after we're done with this message, you need to draw down for yourself the article, "Who and What is a True Christian?" Now, as you look out in the world today, billions profess to be Christians. But Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." So what is a contradiction? How is it that in the world that this has happened, and yet everything seems to continue to fall apart? All right, here's another thing. John 6 and verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." Now you put these two together. God the Father must make the selection because many are called, but few are chosen. Well, in the world today, it is all are called and everybody's chosen. But the problem is, that's not what Jesus said. And do you think for a minute that any of us, anywhere, regardless of who we are and think we are, whether we're just an ordinary person or a minister or a teacher or cardinal, bishop, pope, whatever it may be, can defy God and can say there's another way to God? You have to have, number one, Jesus Christ. Number two, God the Father. That's the way to understand the truth. So where do you begin in your life and my life? Where do we start? Well, we start by, first of all, answering the question, what is sin? Because we cannot possibly understand what God wants or Jesus Christ wants unless we understand what sin really is. So today, we're going to talk about what is sin. And then we will also talk about, whether in this message or a following one, what is the greatest apparent sin toward God that looks good to human beings. Let's come to the general epistle of 1 John, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Now here we find a Bible definition of sin, because the only way to uncover the real truth and separate it from the traditions of men, whether they be Judaism or Catholicism or Orthodox or Protestantism, is to set all of those on the side and come right to the Scriptures only, and prove everything by Scripture. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. And as we have mentioned before, you need to follow the 14 rules of Bible study, and we have that available that you can download freely right from this website. The 14 rules of Bible study, because the biggest mistake that people make in trying to understand the Bible is to go into the Bible to justify their sinful behavior and claim that it is right. And we'll see other things concerning sinful behavior, but let's ask the question, what is sin? Now, I'm quoting from the Holy Bible in its original order, so it'll be a little different if you have the King James, but the King James reads very clearly, which is 80% correct. Sin is the transgression of the law. Whoever sins is transgressing the law. Whose law? God's law. Now, here is a more accurate definition of it, which is a broader definition, because it includes not only the transgression of a law, but it also includes the attitude of men toward God. Now, 1 John 3 and verse 4, it says, everyone who practices sin, that means you're living in sin. Now, some people think if they accept Jesus, they no longer live in sin. Not so, because accepting Jesus involves, as we'll see later, a whole lot more than just saying, oh Lord, I confess my sins, enter into my heart, and the minister magically pronounce you saved. And from that point on, you cannot sin. Now that is a great false doctrine. Did you know that? That's contrary to the Word of God. Now you can read it in 1 John and say, well, the one who is born again cannot sin. That's a wrong translation. And so to base a doctrine for eternal life on a wrong translation, you need to understand that you're living in a deception if you believe that. Let's go on. What is sin? Everyone who practices sin is also practicing lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is going your own way and claiming it's good and right before God. Now we'll examine that a little bit more. There are several forms of lawlessness. One, just being anti-law. Now think about that the next time you go to your Sunday-keeping church. And the minister says, Jesus came to do away with the law. What is he telling everyone to do? He's telling them to practice lawlessness. The Apostle Paul describes this kind of thing in its corporate form as the mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery because people don't know their Bibles and they believe what they're told from the pulpit. Lawlessness, anti-law. So we have sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is practicing lawlessness. Number three is the substitution of human tradition for the Word of God. And number four would be coming to God and telling God he must accept my well-intended behavior because I am a good person. So those are the four things which are sin. And the fourth one is the hardest to understand. We'll examine that a little bit later. So sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is anti-law. Sin is substituting human tradition for the Word of God. And as we saw in previous messages, whenever that is done, any tradition anywhere by any man is null and void before God and does not convey the truth of God. That's why we have the Bible. Now, we've studied in Mark 7 where that if you keep the traditions of men, you full well reject the commandments of God. And a lot of people say we don't have to keep the commandments of God. If that's so, there is no sin. But yet, why are people suffering? Yet, why are lives upside down? Yet, why are you miserable? Why is your life in such a mess, if it is? And look at it collectively in America and Great Britain and Northwestern Europe and Australia and New Zealand. What's happening? What's happening? The world is upside down. It's because of sin. The majority of people are sinning. And when God does that, when He judges the nations, He looks and He sees. How are the nations doing? God says that if He sets out to do good for a nation to bless it, and it's sin against me, I will erase the good that I thought to do them. And if the nation that is sinning against me turn from its wickedness, I will not judge them with the destruction that I thought to bring upon them. That's a paraphrase of Jeremiah 18. Now that applies individually, in communities, in nations. And so we're talking about a whole understanding that the world is embracing sin. And we're really, really, as we covered one time, in a pall of deception, the whole world, because the author of sin is Satan, the devil. Now, let's see some of these things. Let's answer some of these questions. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Now, the Gospel of John, especially chapter 8, has some very interesting things in it, because there were, at that time, a lot of people who professed Jesus. A lot who said, "Lord, Lord, I'm one of your disciples." See? And when that happens, remember this. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." All right. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31. And therefore Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, he said, "Oh, he's the Messiah. Isn't that wonderful? We've seen the miracles. We've seen him feed the 5,000, the 4,000, and look how much was left over when they gathered up the fragments. This is the Messiah." So Jesus said to them, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." So do you know the word of God? Do you know the truth of God? Do you understand it? Have you proved all things? Now, very interesting. Notice he doesn't say, "If you continue in my words." He said, "If you continue in my word." And that means his entire message. Everything that he has said and taught and preached. "You are truly my disciples." So you've got to know the word of God. You've got to know what Jesus taught. Now notice what he says continuing on here, verse 32. and you shall know the truth, as we've covered. What is truth? Jesus said, of God's word, your word is the truth. All the word of God is true. A lot of people say, well, it's filled with lies and written by men. Well, if we've all already covered, no, God inspired them to write it. And they didn't put anything in there that God didn't want them to put in there. But you see, lying religionists, regardless of who they are, that come and say, oh, well, we don't need this, we don't need that, that's old-fashioned, we're new-fashioned. No, what we need to do is get back to the original Christianity, restore original Christianity for today. Here's part of it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, what do you mean, set you free? Everyone likes freedom, don't they? Oh, we got to have freedom. True. We need freedom. But what kind of freedom? See, God has set before us choices. God has set before us life and death, good and evil. We can choose either one. But God said, choose life, because I love you. And I want you to succeed. I want you to be my children. So you need to understand that also. Need to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from sin. So they answered and said, well, you know, what are you telling us? We're of the seed of Abraham. Therefore, you know, we've never been in bondage to anyone. So how are you going to say we shall be free? So Jesus answers the question, verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is the servant of sin. So let's stop and ask the question. Do you serve sin, or do you serve God? Sin is a transgression of the law. Do you know what the law is? Do you understand the Ten Commandments? Without making excuses concerning anything concerning them, because what God gave with the Ten Commandments is just perfectly fine, thank you. It doesn't need to be changed or altered. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the sin that men do to come with their self-righteousness and try and force God to accept it. All right, let's come to the book of Romans by the Apostle Paul. Let's look at some scriptures, and let's ask the question, if you do away with the law, because where no law is, there is no sin, why, then, does Jesus say, if you practice the truth, you'll be free indeed? If not, you're a servant of sin. All right, let's come to Romans 3, verse 31. Now, there will be other messages where, after we get through many of the basics that we are covering, we will go into in-depth studies into some of these things. As a matter of fact, you can get those in-depth studies now. We have on our main website, cbcg.org, which is Restoring Original Christianity for Today, we have an in-depth study of the whole book of Romans, verse by verse. So if you're really interested, go to cbcg.org, and the series on Romans, you can download it, or you can write us at Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024, and we will send it to you. Now, last verse, Romans 3, verse 31. Are we then abolishing law through faith? Now, this is the Apostle Paul that a lot of people said, well, Paul changed the law. Really? Where? Oh, in Galatians. Well, we'll cover that later. Granted, there are some very hard and difficult things to understand. But before you can understand those, you've got to understand the basics. This is basic. What then, because Christ died for us, we have forgiveness for sin, what then are we abolishing law through faith? Notice, King James says, God forbid, but the Greek is even more emphatic. It means, may it never be. That is, don't let such a thought come into your head. Just like we covered before. What did Jesus say concerning the law and the prophets? He said, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. And he said, till heaven and earth pass away, the law and the prophets will continue. Question. Are heaven and earth still here today? Yeah, you're on the earth. And you can look out and see the heavens. What does that tell us? Let's answer it very simply concerning other laws of God. Does the law of gravity still exist on the earth? Yes, indeed, because if it weren't here, you wouldn't be here, right? Yes. All right. May it never be. Notice what is happening, which we will also cover, when you have your sins forgiven and you're put in right standing with God. We are establishing law. Why? How can that be? How do you establish law? Isn't it already established? This means established with each one that is converted. And we'll cover part of that too. See, there's so much in the Bible that people ignore, forget, or overlook, and a minister comes along and says, I'll show you an easy way. All you have to do is just believe, and voila, everything is taken care of. Now let's come to Romans 6, verse 1. Let's read this carefully. Let's see the Apostle Paul always upheld the commandments of God. Okay? Verse 1, Romans 6. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin, transgressing the laws of God, being lawless, choosing for ourselves what we think is right and good, and telling God, God, you must accept this because I'm well-intentioned. Really? Does God accept the person of any man or woman? We'll talk about that later. Can a man tell God what to do? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice verse 2. King James says, God forbid. That's the wrong translation. It is me genoito, meaning may it never be. Does that agree with what Jesus said? If you're practicing sin, you're the servant of sin? Yes, indeed. Does that agree with what John wrote in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, that sin is lawlessness or the transgression of the law? Now it says, we who died to sin. Now how do you die to sin? We'll cover that later, but it has to be through repentance and baptism. You can't have one without the other. We who died to sin, how should we live any longer therein? So how is your life? Have you ever taken the Ten Commandments and read them and examined your life? Because they're easy to understand. God didn't make them complicated. You don't need a priest to interpret it for you. You don't need someone to come and tell you that God did away with his law when God is lawgiver, and we'll cover that too in a little bit. So you need to download many of these difficult scriptures that we have available for you to understand the Word of God. And remember the 14 rules of Bible study. Begin with the simple and easy to understand scriptures. Just like when you go to school, you start in kindergarten and go forward. You don't start taking a PhD course at 6 years old. You learn the alphabet, you learn words. So likewise with understanding the Bible, you need these basic scriptures first to understand what sin is. And we're going to see what you need to do about it, because you are never in right standing with God, regardless of what someone teaches you or preaches to you. You're never in right standing with God if you are practicing sin, and if you are transgressing the commandments of God. So I'll leave that up to you, that you examine your life. Go to Exodus 20 and read the Ten Commandments and ask yourself concerning every one of them. Don't make theological excuses of what preachers have told you. Take them straight for what they are, because those are the very words of God spoken from the top of Mount Sinai to the children of Israel and for all mankind. So this is Fred Calder saying thank you for welcoming me into your home for Church at Home. And remember our other website, cbcg.org, Restoring Original Christianity for Today. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.